This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
Our first guest this morning is Dr. Nico Clark from, what's it called? I always get it wrong, Nico.
It's the medically supervised injecting room.
Cool, in Richmond. Welcome.
Thank you, Macca.
Now, Nico, it's 12 months operation now, and tell me some of the figures, because I've got here that over 2,500 people have used the facility. You've safely responded almost in half those cases of overdoses, so 1,200 overdoses that have required intervention. That's a significant number.
It's a lot. Even in the kind of injecting room world, we seem to have a high proportion of overdoses in our facility, which probably says something about the purity of the heroin that's being used in the facility.
Nico, what's the correct terminology? Because I see safe injecting rooms, I know we touched on this before, and medically supervised injecting rooms. What's the preferred moniker for it?
So it's referred to in the legislation as a medically supervised injecting room, and also the medically supervised injecting centre at North Richmond Community Health. We're actually having a discussion around whether or not we should rename it, because it's actually a lot more than an injecting room, and that's just a small part of what takes place there. And I think it gives people the wrong idea in some ways that, you know, that's all it's about.
Do you think it gives the impression that people are sort of rolling up with their drugs, popping into a room, injecting, and then leaving? Is that the perception that people have?
Gives it the sense that that's all that happens.
What else happens in the injecting rooms?
I mean, it's basically a healthcare facility. It's an innovative means of delivering healthcare to a marginalised group of people who are otherwise not receiving it. And one component of that is kind of providing a place in which people can inject and reviving them if necessary. But it's only one component, and the relationships that they build with the staff members, the capacity to be vaccinated against diseases, treated for their hepatitis, to be linked in with drug dependence treatment, mental health care, homeless services, the whole range of things that population needs is really what the centre is about. And that's ultimately what will deliver the biggest lasting benefit in many ways, because fatal overdoses are quite rare.
I'm assuming there's a fair amount of international research on the veracity of the injecting rooms. Are we currently running a study on Australian rooms?
So the room in Sydney has been running for 20 years, and that coincided with a reduction of heroin use in the area, reduction in heroin overdoses in the area, and ambulance call-outs. But that, to some extent, there was a kind of reduction in heroin use in Australia at the time because of the situation in Afghanistan. There was a drought and there was a drop in production. So it makes it a little bit complicated to evaluate. But you do see in overdose rooms more of a reduction in the hours when the room is open, more of a reduction in the immediate vicinity of the rooms than you see elsewhere. So from that, we can estimate that they do reduce a number of overdose deaths. But just as importantly, they are a pathway into healthcare resources that people need. In 20 years ago, it was HIV, and now it's hepatitis and drug treatment and other services.
Because that's one of the, you know, we've touched on this before, that when people come in to use the facility to inject, there's the opportunity and the possibility for other health interventions, which is really significant because, you know, these are people that often don't have a regular doctor, don't go to a regular health centre. There's a number of issues that, you know, health issues that they're dealing with that aren't actually being addressed. And I mean, I'm really interested in that as well, because it is a community health centre, and, you know, there are people in the area that have some concerns about it, and you know, I've heard them. But reality is, you know, these are people that are marginalised, and as a society, we actually do need to provide them a safe facility. You're not going to, as Ken Lay, ex-police commissioner and chair of Ambulance Victoria, and I think also Lieutenant Governor, he's the world's most busy pensioner. But he said you can't arrest your way out of this. Mm. And he also said that he hadn't seen any compelling evidence as to why we shouldn't trial it.
Mm.
So these other health interventions, they're actually quite essential to the health of these people and also in terms of public health, aren't they?
I was just this week, I think one of my staff was telling me that somebody was registering to use the facility, and we ask people, we invite them, it's an optional thing, to tell us a little bit about their situation, and we ask people when they started, how long they've been using heroin. And on average, they're 40 and have been using heroin for 20 years. And he said, what do you mean, when did I start injecting? Or, you know, my father started injecting me when I was 6.
Wow.
And, you know, that's, you know, we hear story after story of the most horrific abusive situations you can imagine. And I think, you know, we've been told a story that people who use drugs are bad, that it's entirely their choice, and that they just need to kind of behave themselves. And we just need to kind of be a little bit strict with them, as a little bit like, you know, maybe we imagine kind of children, if they're kind of not doing quite, behaving quite the way they normally are. But I think if we ask ourselves, how do we want to treat those people in our society who have had the most horrible, challenging initiation to life? Do we want to then reinforce that, you know, abusive kind of challenge, you know, response from society throughout their lives? Or do we want to say, my goodness, what a horrible start to life you've had, what can we do about that?
Yeah, no, I agree.
What do you say, Nico, to the moral panic that certain sections of the media like to promote in terms of the increased crime rate in the area, you know, people sort of overdosing out in the street, which I assume is not supported by evidence or much evidence?
Look, I don't think anybody calculated accurately how many public injections were taking place in Richmond. I don't think we even have good data on how many people are injecting drugs in Richmond, but certainly my experience is that there's less people injecting and overdosing around the facility than there were before. But that's just one person's observation. But I think the essence of the moral panic, as you talk about it, is it's not so much based on any kind of any good perception of whether the situation is better or worse than before, but a kind of frustration that it's there at all. You know, why am I living in an area with lots of people who use drugs? Why are they here? Why am I not living in a society where, like many other parts of Melbourne, where people, you know, we walk down the street and people smile at each other? And I think it's quite confronting to see people who, and they do give that, you know, there is the impression, many people in Richmond, that gives the impression that they don't adhere to the same social norms that some other people do. And many of them have been in prison. Many of them have had extremely negative interactions with the kind of the aspects of their society. And they do give off an era that they're not necessarily going to respond in a way that you might predictably kind of respond. You know, you go and you talk to the people you don't know down the street, and people find that quite scary.
Mm. So I also get the feeling there's a fair bit of positivity about having medically supervised injecting rooms, but not in my street or not in my backyard.
I don't think anybody wants to give the impression that, you know, they would be, you know, they would want people to die or so on and so forth. But the proximity of the facility to the immediate neighbours, I think they do find quite confronting. It's not that it's a new thing, it's been there for a long period of time, but it is challenging for them. And I think it's a significant challenge. I think there are, you know, when I talk about the kind of horrific experiences that our clients have had, their neighbours say, well, I feel like I'm traumatised too. And now that's, then, you know, those traumas are of a completely different proportion. But nonetheless, I think we do need to deal with the fact that it is difficult for people to live in close proximity to somebody who comes from a completely different way of seeing things. And there's, as a society, we have to think, well, how do we bridge this gap somehow? How do we raise understanding one to the other? How do we build a world where people from different life experiences can find a way of coexisting happily?
Do you think that's become more pronounced with the gentrification of some suburbs? that were traditionally quite lower class?
Well, Richmond used to be a lot less safe. If you talk to people who used to live there 30, 40 years ago, the alcohol was the main substance problem, and it was a lot less safer than it is now. I mean, for the fact that that's our biggest high-rise in Australia, and we don't have a lawless society in it the way many of these kind of high-rise estates around the world have. You know, you can walk around Richmond any time of the day or night, really, and it's a pretty safe place. And for all the pictures you see in the media, you can walk down most of the streets and not see anything untoward 90% of the time. So it's not a no-go zone by any means. But there is a social challenge that we have to find a way of dealing with.
And we saw Martin Foley, the Minister for Mental Health, also for Equality and Creative Industry. He said during the week, you know, commenting on the extended hours and the additional security, an increased police presence in the area and some more outreach workers, that we've taken action to keep people who use drugs safe from overdose, and we're turning our attention to cleaning up the streets of North Richmond. We'll always treat people struggling with drug addiction with compassion, but now that all of the facilities are up and running, it's important that we see people using them and off the streets. And that's the operative phrase. He's not denying there's an issue, nor is Dick Wynne, the member for Richmond. Both these guys supported this strongly. But what's happened now with a larger, you know, facility, longer opening hours, better security, and, you know, an increased police presence, that will make a difference, and it's already probably starting to make a difference, but it will make a difference and hopefully address some of those concerns. Is that your hope, Nico?
So what people say if they are seen injecting in the streets, they typically say, well, I went to the room and it was full.
Right.
And it has been running close to capacity for a number of months now. And so there is a perception that perhaps if we're now at this larger facility and we've already seen significant increase in numbers of people coming to the facility, you know, perhaps we'll be able to provide a space for everybody so that people they'll no longer have that experience. And so what I think he's referring to is the sense that while we're providing a space for people with drug use issues who are injecting drugs, we also need to respond to the concerns of the community. And there are certainly, you know, there are people who are kind of walking down the street looking like they haven't had a shower in a while, and then there are people whose behaviour is clearly not acceptable in our society, and we need to put limits around that. And if somebody is harming somebody else, then, you know, we need to deal with that. If somebody is making somebody else's life, you know, if, you know, as a society you draw certain lines and you say, well, if somebody crosses that line, then, you know, we have a response. But I think there's, you know, when I talk to the police, there's a consensus that for the vast majority of the people in Richmond, the most effective response is a health response.
Yeah.
And that what we should be doing is to maximise both our law enforcement and our health resources to encourage people to go into to receive the healthcare they need. And that will give us the best safety outcomes. And, you know, there are some people who we may need a kind of a law enforcement outcome, but the majority of behaviours that are best dealt with a health outcome.
And certainly if you ask any paramedic, they'll say this facility has made a huge difference to their ability to respond in the area because they're attending much, much fewer overdoses. Mm.
There has been a reduction in ambulance call-outs, and paramedics often bring people to the facility when they have an overdose, but they're alert enough to refuse to go to hospital or to refuse further treatment, but they're not really alert enough to look after themselves. They often bring those people to the facility.
Good.
And we look after them.
I think it's a fascinating area, and I can see that, you know, we need to be talking about further safe injecting rooms. Thanks for coming in, Nico. It's a fascinating topic, and looking forward to seeing what happens next with the issue.
And I look forward to hearing you having a chat with Neil Mitchell. I've messaged Neil, and he's very keen to have a chat with you, so I'll put you in touch with his
producer. I think it's important that we have these debates and we have these discussions.
Great.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.